Welcome to Dish the Dirt, a light-hearted and fun podcast about Australian flower growers, their stories, knowledge and insights into the industry. I'm your host Rebecca, and each week I speak to a different farmer and get them to dish the dirt. Dish the Dirt acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land on which we work and live, and recognise their continuing connection to land, water and community. We pay respect to elders past, present and emerging. Hello and welcome to Dish the Dirt, the final episode in this season. It's been wonderful to share all of the stories, knowledge and insights this season. I would like to extend my gratitude to all of the farmers who have been part of this podcast in the past few years and also this season. It's just been so wonderful. I think that we've had some really great chats and learnt a lot. So this week I have our final episode, and that is with Lizzie from Tasmania. She is based south of Crizzy in the North Midlands of Tasmania. She's an avid gardener and has begun supplying local seasonal homegrown blooms to local florists in recent years. Her area of specialty is dahlias, and she grows her flowers in their large cottage garden on her parents' 770 hectare farm, Little Forest. The cottage that she lives in was built by her great-grandparents in the early 1900s, and she has completely rebuilt the flower garden, large orchard and vegetable garden since moving back in 2007. This winter, she is increasing her dahlia growing and moving into the paddock to meet local demand. She's slowly turning her hobby into a little financial business. How wonderful. It was great to speak to you, Lizzie, and let's get into it. Yeah, so I'm excited to chat to you because I haven't had many Tasmanian flower farmers on.
And I've been hanging out for some more Tassie people.
Yeah, good. Well, would you like to start me off by telling me where you're situated?
Yes. So we are about 10 kilometres south of Crecy, which is in the northern Midlands of Tasmania. So in the scheme of things, it's about 40 minutes south of Launceston.
Okay. And what's your climate like there?
Well, at the moment, it's horrible. It's frosty, foggy, really cold.
Yeah.
Well, we get the occasional, nice sunny winter's day, but we've been having a run of foggy, frosty. Like, we can get down to -5, -6 some mornings.
Yeah.
And days of the fog not lifting.
Yeah. Sounds very much like where I'm from. Yeah.
Yeah. So then moving into summer, it can get quite hot, but in saying that, not compared to mainland hot.
Okay.
35 is a hot day here, but we only get that very rarely.
Yeah. And what's your rainfall like over that time, over summer?
Well, it's very variable. At the moment, mm-hmm. we can have a very wet, like last summer was particularly wet, but not normally. Not normally. We, rely on irrigation a lot in our area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me, your farm, your family's been on your farm for quite a long time. Do you want to tell me about your property?
Yeah, so my great-grandparents originally had the property, which they purchased back in the early 1900s. So we're living on my great-grandparents' old house,
and
which is very special to me. A lot of sentimental meaning there. So we're on about 770 hectares, which my parents farm, and we live on farm with them, but my husband and I both have off-site jobs.
Okay.
And my husband also works on the farm one day a week.
Yeah,
which is, it's lovely, and it's a great place to be bringing up my children. It's
What do you predominantly farm there?
It's predominantly fat lamb, cattle, and mixed cropping.
Yeah, wonderful.
And I'm trying to bring in the flowers now.
Yeah, fabulous. So do you want to tell me how you got onto those?
Yes, definitely. So I've always been an avid gardener from very, very young age. Some of my earliest memories are going to the nursery with my mum of a weekend, and she'd let me pick out a few punnets of flowers to bring home and plant out. And that then progressed to letting me design. And my parents are supportive of my ideas. They'd say, sketch out your ideas, Liz, and we'll go from there. So I'd busily sketch out all my ideas, and then they'd look and go, oh gosh, Liz, how are we gonna pay for this anyway? Yeah. So that progressed as I got into my late teenage years, and then I'd put in, you know, new big rose beds and wisteria walks and all sorts of things, to the point that I said to Mum, I think we need to extend the garden, which was big enough as it was. And they said, oh, okay. So we moved the fence out to probably add another half an acre onto the garden. And it was that large of an area that we had to get the tractor and plough the paddock up, you know, the garden up, and sow it with the lawn with the drill. So I did all this work and then went off to uni, left it.
Yeah.
left them with the work. So then I went off to uni and studied ag science. So,
oh, wonderful.
Before then moving back to the farm, when I was nearly finished, I said to my parents that I thought that we'd like to live back in our grandparents' home that was vacant at the time. And I knew that it needed a lot of work. But luckily they said, yep, we'd love you to move in. Because their house, my parents' house, is about 500 metres up the road from where I am.
Okay.
Yeah, so after I'd finished uni, I got a job and we decided to move in and undertake renovating, a house and garden that hadn't been properly lived in for over 12 years. Yeah, that's where my gardening work began here.
Wonderful. So what did you have to do when you started? And was that back in 2007, I think I read? Was that when you
I'd been given the go-ahead that we could move in. I started planting things before I'd even moved in, putting things in, roses and hydrangeas and all sorts of things that I wanted to get a head start on before I moved in.
Yeah.
And then we finally moved in and we both had jobs locally, and it's grown, just grown from there. Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. And what sort of made you decide to go down the wholesale route to florists after you got your garden established? How did you, where did you go from there?
It was sheerly by chance, really. I'd had people say to me, would there be any chance that I'd sell them some of my flowers? And I thought, I'd never considered it. I'd, happily always given them away to people. If you want it, expressed any interest, I'd send you home with a bucket of flowers. And I thought, perhaps I could sell them.
Yeah.
And I hadn't actively pursued it at all. It had been people pursuing me, really, which was lovely.
Yeah. And what did you start selling in the beginning? So what year was this that people started to approach you?
It was about 2 or 3 years ago now.
Okay, yeah.
And people were just after mixed buckets of whatever I had in the garden, really. So I have just a mixture of perennials and roses. I only had a few dahlias at that stage. Yeah, they were popular. So I thought, oh, well, this is good. this can support my gardening addiction, my plant addiction somewhat.
Yeah, great. So then you decided to put in how many? So you started off with, I think you said now you've got 100 plus roses and you're predominantly dahlias. How did you decide on dahlias? And obviously you already loved roses. Did you have dahlias in already? Was that something that
Not really. I'd always been a massive rose lover, and every winter I'd study the rose catalogues and circle which ones I was going to buy and add, 10 new ones each season. Then I'd basically my available space with rose bed in the rose beds, and then I had a few dahlias, and then it was just this weird chance that I was googling the Tasmanian Dahlia Society to see if there was one in the area, and I found that Charlie Smith from Devon Dahlias was literally living, just had a house just down the road from our shack at St Helens on the east coast, and I thought, oh wow, because he's famous dahlia breeder in Tasmania.
Okay, yeah.
And got in contact with him, and he was really, really accepting for me to come down and talk to him. And so I went and visited him and was amazed at his dahlia patch. And he was excited to have some young blood interested. So he packed me up with all these tubers to come home with. That's really where the passion for dahlias came from. Yeah. Then yeah. Started with 20, and then
How many do you have now?
I've been really busy dividing them over the last month or so. So hundreds now, not different.
Oh,
you know,
wonderful!
I've probably got 40 or 50 different, but now divided up into now hundreds to ready to plant out in the coming months.
Beautiful. So is that something that grows quite well in your soil? Is that why you sort of have decided, or it's just the beauty of them that you love?
Well, both. You can't not be amazed by the beauty of them, I don't think. And also the fact that they grow really well in my area, with little to no chemical control or pests and diseases required whatsoever. Which is good, whereas might be prone to, aphid attack or powdery mildew, black spot, which I can't, I can't compete with the rose growers.
What do you use for your powdery mildew and things like, and aphids on your roses?
Nothing.
Okay.
So years ago I used to spray them religiously. But then when I fell pregnant with my first child, I said, right, no more chemicals whatsoever. And I haven't since. And I've found that you do see the odd aphid, but it doesn't take long for the beneficials to catch up and get them under control.
Yeah.
So the ladybirds come in and gobble them up.
Do you have other plants nearby that you think helps with the beneficial bugs coming in?
Not really interplanted, but companion planting will. But there are, the plants surrounding that would also help take the pressure off.
Have you found that your ag science has really helped you with your gardening and flower farming?
Definitely. Okay.
Yeah, and in what way do you think?
Not knowing about soils and how to amend the soil, and all those sorts of things have been really helpful. Yeah, and also I've got a bit of a chemical background as well, which is also knowing what to spray if you needed to, etc.
Do you think that information is something that's quite easily available if you didn't have an ag science background in your flower farming community?
I think that most it's easy to access information, and our local agronomists are always very happy to help.
Yeah.
It would only be a matter of a phone call away if you needed advice, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, great. And do you have many other people nearby growing flowers?
No. Not in my local area, no.
Yeah, okay. And you're supplying to florists now, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, great. And how did you – has that been for the last 2 or 3 years, or has it just been for the season prior, or when did you begin that?
I've been doing it for probably over 2 seasons now. Okay. And I just loved it. I love seeing my flowers being used, in different arrangements, different events and things. Oh, like recognising my own babies, basically.
Yeah. I was about to ask you what's been your biggest high?
Yeah, that is definitely – makes me feel really warm and fuzzy inside to see them, like, in someone's wedding bouquet or used in their wedding, ceremonies, and it's lovely, really nice. Because I can spot them a mile away. That's mine. I remember picking it.
Yeah. Oh, that is so nice, isn't it? And I think it's so beautiful when you get something locally grown as well, and you're the person receiving it. It's something very special about it. So
I was just going to say, it's just not – I've picked it at 7 a.m. in the morning, and it's in the florist at, 8:30, 9 o'clock, and there's no real lag time sitting around anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Is it hard for florists to get fresh flowers where you are? Is there a big wholesale market or anything, or is it quite difficult?
Well, this time of year – that, there was very little locally supplied flowers.
Yeah.
It'd be mostly imported. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Unless it's greenhouse, glasshouse grown.
Yeah. And no native flowers, not too many native flowers down in Tasmania, or they don't grow well, or?
Oh, no, they do. They do. Okay. A lot of the wattles here especially are about to start flowering, which is always
so
a pretty
beautiful
time.
Yeah. I love wattle season. It just reminds me that spring is on its way.
It's coming.
Yeah, and it's just such a happy – there's like, I don't know, when it's a grey, cloudy, horrible day and you see a thing of wattle, it's just the best.
Yep.
Yeah, so good. So who has inspired you on your journey, do you think?
Well, first of all, was probably my chance meeting with Charlie from Devon Dahlias. He was just a wealth of knowledge for me. And I just really appreciated the time that he spent with me, encouraging the youth to come through, which is really good. It's really good. But I'm also a member of my local garden club, and I'd highly recommend that for information. Everyone there's
to
share their knowledge with you and give you plants and to take home if you express any sort of inkling of interest in something. They'll rush home and dig it up for you and bring it back for you at the next meeting. And
lovely.
So I've learnt lots through that, and speaking to other local gardeners in the area, what grows well, etc.
It sounds like you have a really great community down in Tasmania. It sounds like there's a lot of encouragement and a lot of people trying to help others get into the industry, which is really lovely. Do you think that there's enough flower farmers down in Tasmania to support the flower industry?
Not at the moment, I don't think.
Okay.
Not from the demand, that I've seen. I think there's definitely more scope for other people to, if they've got the space. Like, you don't need much space to to grow. Like, even like if I was in an apartment, I'd be having pots everywhere, pots inside, pots outside. But yeah, just to get across that you don't need a large area to be have a, whether it is flowers or vegetables, you know, or fruit, you can achieve such a large amount from a small space.
Yeah. And I know that you at the moment, well, in your bio, you've said that you're kind of growing from hobby for it to be a financial support for you and your family. How are you doing that? Is it something that's been gradual, or are you?
Yeah. So I'm just doing it slowly and seeing how I go. I don't want to rush into anything at this stage, but I just love the flowers. Like, coming home from work and then outside of an evening picking, or early in the morning, it's just the most magic time of day to be outside.
I was going to ask how do you manage it between you know, your work and then picking flowers, because it's not an easy job, and then kind of maintaining over 100+ roses, I think, is quite a big you know, a thing in itself, especially I know what picking roses is like, and then also picking those dahlias and kind of getting orders out. Have you managed it so that you only pick a few days a week?
Okay. Basically, I've just been doing it on demand, so as required. So I'll rush home from work and pick them of an evening, late of an evening, or you know, or up out there in my pajamas in the morning at some ungodly hour, ready to send off.
But
it's just at that time of the day outside. At, you know, 6:30 in the morning, it's just beautiful in the summer.
Yeah, you wouldn't be out there now at 6:30 in the morning, I don't think.
No.
Yeah, it's a bit of a struggle in winter. So over for the next season, what are you doing at the moment? Is there anything happening in the patch at the moment?
Yeah, so I'm busily preparing new dahlia area, it's the past seasons have all been within the garden, the fence. But we're actually going out into the paddock this season, and I've begun digging up my beds, and I've been spending days and days wheelbarrowing loads of sheep manure from the shearing shed down and onto the garden. Onto the new beds ready. Yeah, so it's exciting. I'm really looking forward to it. So next step is getting my irrigation organised and out tubers come probably late October.
Yeah. Let me just take you back. Do you have to do much to your soil to get it ready apart from the sheep manure?
No, not really. It's been fairly untouched, and it's quite nice soil. And it hasn't been, it's been to pasture for forever. Pretty good. So working it up with lots of sheep manure and add in some other organic fertilizers.
Yeah.
A pair of pea straw is something I like to do.
Yeah, lovely.
And they're good to go.
Yeah, great. So what has been your biggest learning curve since you started growing flowers?
Like, you're always going to have something go wrong. Like, won't grow, won't germinate, or spontaneously dies. But everything like that you will learn from really. Like, opportunities to be had from every disaster.
I read that you are very good at killing lemon trees. Is that correct?
That's my specialty.
Indoor
plants. Indoor plants are also very good at killing them also.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I'm a florist, and everyone always says to me, because my husband's very good at indoor plants, and our house is like filled with indoor plants, but everyone always thinks it's me, but no. I kill them straight away.
I don't know.
Like, they're so temperamental.
I can't get them right. More water? No. I've got to neglect. Everyone else I see, they thrive on neglect, and that's not something I'm good at.
See yourself going in the next sort of 5 years and within sort of the flower industry in Tasmania?
Just from the how we go and whether I need to, because I've got space from where I am that I could potentially put more rose in and my area again. But yeah, we'll see how that goes with juggling that and my day job and the kid running around for kids, etc.
Yeah.
So something that I can see myself easily giving up ever.
Yeah. Sounds like you're very good at it, so I don't think you should. What would you love to see change or evolve down in Tasmania when it comes to locally grown flowers?
Publicise more that these are, you know, when you buy something from the florist, that where it's been grown, where it's been sourced from, that would be really good, I think. So you know when you've bought this bunch that's got dahlias, well, they are actually grown in this area, or and then to know that they haven't come a long way, you know, they haven't come on the plane from somewhere, or labelling would be good.
Yeah, and how do you think that you can encourage more people to get into growing down there?
Media, probably. Yeah.
Okay.
The biggest driving force probably at the moment.
Yeah.
Seems to be lots more people interested in the flowers in general, or gardening in general, post-COVID. Whether or not that fizzles out over time now, I don't know. Hopefully not. But it's lovely to see people trying things that they would never have done before, growing their own vegetables or growing their own flowers for picking, and anything that gets people outside and active is always going to be a good thing.
Exactly. And what do you think Tasmania does better than the rest of Australia when it comes to flowers in the flower industry?
Oh, well, it's definitely a beautiful, clean, green environment, I reckon.
Yeah.
Our beautiful, pristine air and water.
Yeah.
Characters that grow them as well.
Yeah, awesome. I would love to come down to Tasmania, actually. Somebody told me about a half marathon. It's apparently the world's hardest half marathon. It's from Sandy Point.
Up Mount Wellington.
Yeah, exactly. Up Mount Wellington.
Yes.
So yes, it happens in November, I think. And
Point to Pinnacle.
That's it, exactly. And they said that there's a few flower farms around there that I could check out at the same time, although I don't know if I could walk after doing.
After that.
exactly.
And it can often be snowing if you're running up there. Yes.
How bizarre.
Can be snowing there all year round.
Oh, goodness.
Yep.
I didn't realize it was that high. Anyway.
Yeah, it's high. It's high. Yep.
Yeah. Do you get any snow where you are?
No, very rarely. Every winter we'll probably get some. It will snow, but it's very, very rare. You know, one in every 10 years it might settle.
I love the most about your property and your farm.
I just like the open space and the opportunity for my children to enjoy that as well, you know, to enjoy the childhood that I did as well. Climbing the trees and the fresh air. Yeah,
it's pretty special growing up on a big farm. I grew up on a big high country sheep station, and I definitely know that kind of farming life, and it is something very different to anything else, I think, that you can experience. It gives you a lot of good values, I think.
Yes.
So if you had to leave quickly, what three things would you take with you?
Now I've been thinking about this, and things I would most definitely take would be my husband and my two children.
Well, that's a given.
Because I figured most other things like are replaceable.
Yeah.
But if I really had to choose, I would probably take my dahlia seeds from that I've collected myself.
Yeah.
Because they're unique and I couldn't get them again. And I'd also probably take my flower maps.
Oh.
So I might not have those particular roses or dahlias anymore, but so I remembered what I liked, how they performed, and what I should buy again. Number three, I suppose, would be my Hori Hori knife.
Yeah, which great.
I love.
That answers your favourite tool then.
Yes, that's my favourite tool.
They are so badass too, I think. They look really, really, really a weapon.
They are a serious weapon, yes.
Can you take me back to your flower maps? So what do you do with your flower maps? Do you map up your whole garden and your rows? And then you said you document everything. So
yeah,
tell me a bit about that.
Well, it started off with my rose beds, and I would stick the tag that came with it on it, and they would inevitably get blow off, and I'd find them scattered around the garden, never to be seen again. And someone would come and say, "Well, what's this from? It's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't remember it." 4 or 5 years ago now, as I pruned, I sketched out a map of each bed, and anyone that still had a label or I knew the name of, I wrote down. And so I can always go back and refer to it now. If someone says, "What is this particular rose or dahlia?" I can go back, and nothing worse than not being able to remember what it is.
That's very helpful.
You know, make a little note, you know, how it performs, or dahlias, I definitely make a note of when it's flowering.
Yeah.
You know, if it was a good prolific bloomer or not, which is...
Exactly. I think that's a really good point to make, especially if you're trying to make it into a financial... to support you financially. As well.
And it's worth the time to go out and make some notes on what's going on, what's going growing well, what's prone to disease.
Yeah.
So that you can look back, because you won't remember when it comes out.
What would you say is your biggest performer in the patch?
My favourite in the patch would be Formby Monarch, if you've ever heard of it.
I have, yes.
It's a beautiful big sort of apricot-y, pinky, huge decorative dahlia. Beautiful. That's my favourite.
Yeah, great.
Pick out 50 favourites.
And your favourite rose?
I have a few favourite roses, but my current top favourite is Perfume Passion.
Oh, I haven't heard of hybrid, this one.
It's a hybrid tea. Beautiful, beautiful perfume, as the name suggests. Yep.
Yeah.
And makes a very nice cut flower, nice long stems, and thornless.
Oh, thornless.
Great. Yeah.
Love a thornless rose. But sometimes the really beautiful ones have so many thorns. It's crazy.
Yes.
One thing I wanted to ask you is, did your grandparents plant anything that you've kept in the garden? Anything that was really special?
That's
all right.
So I've basically, the garden was when we moved in, and it had been, it had tenants in the house for nearly 10 years before we moved in back in from when my grandparents passed away. Mm. And it had just been let go, and it was in a terrible state. So when we came in, I've removed everything that was still still there. And I did try and move. There was a couple of roses that I really liked and I tried to move them to a more sensible spot, but they sulked and died, which was sad.
Anything about your journey or your farm that you'd like to share with others that I haven't asked you?
One thing I haven't talked about is our bees, and that's something we've got into recently, which has definitely helped with pollination. And not to mention the fact that we get lots of delicious honey to enjoy.
Yeah.
Passionate about bees at our house at the moment. It's more my husband's area of specialty, but I'm really seeing the benefits of it in the garden, both the veggie garden and the orchard and the flower garden.
Yeah, wonderful. What are those benefits? Just the pollination or?
Pollination, yeah. The most beautiful honey, which is sort of it nearly tastes like rose water, we've described it as.
Something that you would encourage perhaps other people to get into if they're growing flowers, maybe have a little bit of those little hives.
Definitely and to learn from your local beekeepers associations, I would say.
Get in touch with you if they want to buy flowers from you in this coming season.
Well, at the very moment, I'm working on my website, which should be finished in the next week or so.
Yeah.
And hopefully up and running, but also via Instagram or via my via email is the best.
Great. Thank you so much. Thank you for being part of Dish the Dirt and for doing it so last minute for me. Such a wonderful chat and to hear all about Tasmania as well. I always feel like it's very much like New Zealand, so... Every time I come down, I sort of feel like I'm home.
Do you feel an accent?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what a Tasmanian accent is. I'm a foreigner, so I've got no clue.
No.
Thank you so much, Lizzie, for being part of Dish the Dirt. You can find Lizzie at Little Forest Garden on Instagram. There you can find her email address and website when it is up and running. It was wonderful to speak to you, and I wish you all the very best for this next Dahlia season. So if you would like to be part of Dish the Dirt season 7, please reach out and get in touch with me. It would be wonderful to share some more of your stories, knowledge and insights into the flower industry. And who knows, maybe we might do a season in New Zealand. So if you are a New Zealand flower farmer and you would like to be on the podcast, please reach out to me and we'll see if we get enough to do a whole New Zealand season. How wonderful would that be? Anyway, I am off to put some flowers together and have a wonderful day in the blooms. I hope you are doing that too. Keep being blooming fabulous.